This is Hits 96, Chattanooga's number one hit music station, and today I am thrilled to introduce you to an artist that has made quite an impact, not only here in Chattanooga, but around the world. Act 4 Atonement is his latest EP, released just a few days ago. He's also kicking off his Appalachia tour tomorrow with our friends over at the Barrel House Ballroom, and he's also gearing up for a European tour this spring. Monrovia is in the studio. Thanks for joining me, sir.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. It's 96. It's a pleasure to be here.
Of course, of course. You have made quite a splash around town here and on social media and everything. Of course, you have quite the following, and people kept on messaging me. We do a lot of local artists to come in through here, and you've been on the list of everybody. They keep on saying, you got to get Monrovia, you got to get Monrovia.
Oh, so that's awesome.
I've been in contact with your people. I'm so happy that we finally made it happen. And right, perfect timing, released a new EP. You have a big tour coming up. Bigger tour coming up even in the spring when it comes to going to Europe and all that. I want to talk about it all, but first let's just kind of start with your journey, Mon, because you do have quite the story. You were born in Liberia, correct?
Yeah.
And you now live here in Tennessee, based in Chattanooga. Can you share a little bit about your background, then maybe how you found music, and how'd you end up here in Tennessee?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. And so I was born in Liberia, West Africa, during the first civil wars in the 90s. I was adopted from there. With my missionary family that ended up coming to Liberia and doing some really great work in the country. My two other brothers also were adopted as well. And, we lived there a little bit longer, but early 2000s, we moved back, landed in Florida. So I spent some good time down there. From Florida, we went to Montana. So kind of a crazy switch, you know, moving from the heat to the intense wilderness and cold and, you know, being, you know, kind of one of the few, I guess, African-Americans in my area. So it was a very unique growing up. I had two neighbors, you know, 30 miles outside of Whitefish, 30 more miles from Canada. So we were in the mountains, man. It was a wild time.
Sure.
But loved growing up there, the river in the back, you know, the train and the woods, really beautiful place to learn and be present. So really thankful for it. From there, my family moved to Nassau. We went to the islands because my adopted parents are Bahamian. So we have a lot of family out in the islands and lived there for 5 years, you know, just island life. And while we were there, we got to take trips all across the world. You know, my dad was very mission-minded, so we ended up going to, you know, Brazil and El Salvador and Colombia as well, just doing some work. And really beautiful to see now what I didn't know then about how those experiences would, you know, kind of influence a lot of my music and the way to relate to different types of people, to know that there's many other ways to live life and be happy. You know, there's not one way, the American dream, American happy. So many people out there just love their community and want to see each other thrive. Coming from there, you know, I finished school in high school in Florida, from the Bahamas, went back to Florida. So I finished junior, senior year, and honestly, wasn't really doing music too much through this process of moving around. Music really came to the forefront for me, and I always dabbled, you know, had fun with my friends, you know, kind of growing up, just making funny songs, and I was always good at lyrics. But I remember I didn't sing really until my junior year of high school. People used to tell me my voice was really unique and different, so I didn't know if it was good or not. You know, so I was like, you know.
Probably, yeah, it's one of those words.
Yeah, it's unique. Like, is that good? You know? So I ended up, you know, just kind of writing most of the stuff. And we started a band, my brothers and I. We fostered two boys that came and lived with us, and they kind of showed me newer music. So, you know, different interesting indie and folk, like Fleet Foxes and Radical Face. Bon Iver came to the scene for me then. And, you know, that really did something for me because, one, I fell in love with, you know, the delicacy of their writing and how you had to think about certain things. And you couldn't just listen to the song. You had to go back and go, what do they mean by this line, this statement? And also their voices were different, right? So I felt a little bit like seen in that, knowing that, I could, you know, possibly do something with me, you know, like sing some songs, because their voices aren't like the usual, you know, good kind of, you know, Justin Bieber voices. You know, we had a band. It was really fun, 2 years, and your parents wanted us to go to school. And that's kind of what brought me back to Chattanooga. Or brought me to Chattanooga for the first time, to be honest. I was playing soccer at a school on the mountain, Lookout Mountain, called Covenant College. I'm sure a lot of people here know it. So I played soccer up there, you know, and still wasn't really doing music. There was a musical competition called Mountain Affair that my school did. I ended up entering that with my hall. A shout out to the ghetto. And I ended up winning People's Choice, and it was kind of a, you know, a light went off my mind, like, well, you know, music is still something that's in me, you know, even though I'm not pursuing it fully. And it was a tough time, though, you know, and so music kind of got put back the back burner because I was battling a lot of different things at the time, you know, in those early 20s when kind of survivor's guilt and search for identity and land and came back to me super strong, you know, and I fell by the wayside into deep, deep despair and loneliness during this period of my life. And yeah, got into a lot of different things, a lot of vices, and ended up, you know, having a major, major, you know, event that took place in my life that had me to rethink a lot of different things. My dad, you know, calls me. He's like, man, you really need help, you know. My hands were empty. I had no place to go at that time. And I wasn't really going to go back home. You know, it's one of those things after you've lived away from your parents for a while, you kind of want to do things on yourself and figure you can get out of everything and do everything. I'm really glad that, yeah, I decided to accept that extended hand. And it's interesting. I know a lot of you probably know about Crooked the Road, which is a song that came out just before Act Four. And it's actually the first song on Act Four. And that song is really the start of this process of Monrovia. And it's cool that it's on the last act of these series that we've been doing, these four. Because, you know, it's at the end of the acts, but it's the beginning of something new at the same time. And so that Crooked the Road song really means a lot to me, because if I didn't do any of that and leave Chattanooga, so at this point, I'm in this space. My dad tells me to come home to California, right? So I go back home. I'm not Monrovia yet. I'm just around.
Yeah.
I make music, but I'm not like Monrovia. And so I go back home and, you know, back to California, and lived in Dana Point, a beautiful place, and ended up, you know, rebuilding myself. And my dad had this house that he was working on, and I ended up working with him. And it was such a cool mirror to break down walls in you know, in real life, and put up new structures, at the same time be, you know, building and working on the inward self at the same time. It was super powerful for me. And while being out there, you know, I kind of decided to give everything I could back to my people, and, you know, those that are not thought of, and, you know, different people that are, you know, kind of lowly. And so Monrovia was born because, I guess you could say, I felt that I owed something to all the time I had wasted in America, just trying to assimilate, trying to fit in, not thinking at all about, you know, how special is not the right word, but how I guess thankful I should have been for having that experience to leave Liberia and be saved from such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have a brother and sister that still live there, you know, and it could have been them that had the opportunity, right, to come to America, to come and do something amazing for more than just themselves. And all this time, everything was about me. And so Monrovia was born because I wanted to give something back and kind of repay all the lost time. And I told them if I did anything with music, that it wouldn't be about me, that it, you know, that none of these things are for anything else but to help people.
Right.
And so from there, I came back to Chattanooga. I left 2019 California, came back to Chattanooga, and, you know, started doing music a little bit more seriously.
Yeah.
And then, you know, fast forward to end of 2022, TikTok's around, and, you know, we started to bring the ukulele. I started to play that a little bit and go on these lives on TikTok, and I guess from there things just spiraled. And
in a big way,
I suppose. So yeah,
in a big way.
And a community was born. So that's kind of a little bit
that's great.
In short, so
yeah. I mean, you mentioned obviously your journey shaped by the challenges that you've faced and been able to travel all over, so you definitely getting different life experiences.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, from Florida to Montana to California and everything in between. Mm-hmm. And the Bahamas, and it's and amazing. Not a lot of people get those opportunities to travel as much.
Absolutely.
So it's obviously something that you want to be grateful for. Mm-hmm. Granted. Do you remember the pivotal moment, the actual moment, though, when you were like, okay, this is the time to pick up the music and go for it? Was there any kind of moment when you said, this is it? Was it that time in California that you were kind of spending?
No, because it wasn't even then, though.
Yeah,
you know,
I
think
what I mean.
That's what's crazy. You know, I think back to it. I haven't... I think when I started to, honestly, I think it was that Big Love Ahead. So mm-hmm. we were on a live and I freestyled this song, Big Love Ahead. And my manager, Eric, was like, this is great. He took the recording of this live I had done on TikTok, shipped it to Spotify, just the live recording there, not even in the studio, anything. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing we know, you know, January 2023, you know, the song had just kind of taken off on TikTok and done its thing. And I think that was the first time I gained so many followers overnight. It was the first little bit of light that I realized, man, maybe I could do something with this on a bigger scale. So I would say, yeah, probably the beginning of 2023 was when I really saw that there was something that could happen.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Your music obviously definitely conveys deep emotions. You've gone with this 4 EP type deal, Act 1 through 4. Act 4 just came out. What was the idea for that? Why did you want to kind of release it in almost different chapters and go about it in this way? It's very cool, but explain why you wanted to do it that way.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I think, you know, throughout life and everything we watch and read, it's all about the hero's journey. And I think I wanted to put these acts together because everyone that lives, you know, is in their own hero's journey. You know, some people don't make it to become the hero. You know, they battle things and they don't make it. They don't become that person that they could be. And so I wanted to have a story told with scenes of my life throughout, kind of, you know, telling this tale. So it starts off with Act 1, the wandering. You know, you come into this life, this experience, not knowing anything about what you're going to do, what you're going to be. Mm-hmm. In a sense, you're just lost. From there, you go to trials because, right, everybody has to go and face certain things in their life. Right. And either they overcome them or they're beaten by those things. From trials, the hero moves to the dying of self, which is the killing of ego. So Act 3, the dying of self, is all about that. And the most important piece of anyone's life is knowing that you're such an important piece of this cog, this world, but not the most important piece, and how you need each other. And so ego death is the greatest struggle. Mm. Act 4 kind of, you know, closes this chapter on the hero's journey, because now the hero in Act 4, Atonement, gets to come back to his people and share the things that he's gone through, that he's learned, and hopefully encourage someone else through theirs. And that is the most important piece of the story, atonement, being able to atone for things and be able to lift a community out of certain struggles.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of why I decided to split it all into these acts, and to hopefully have people know that there's certain chapters of their lives that they are going to go through, but at the end they can make it, they can inspire many.
Yeah, no, I think it is, and it's resonating with listeners, obviously, with the following that you've been able to grow and to have, and now to be able to go on a little bit of a tour and do this thing. I know you've mm-hmm. done, you're no stranger to the stage. You're doing Bonnaroo, Austin City Limits,
yes,
and all of that. So let's talk about performing a little bit when you're out there connecting and sharing these stories. It must be an emotional experience to some extent, and obviously to get the feedback from the audience. So what have these bigger shows, smaller shows, what has been performing these songs been like for you? What's that experience been like?
Yeah, I think I always thought I was going to love the smaller, you know, intimate venues more as, you know, kind of continually as my career went. Mm-hmm. And it really is special, you know, having those small intimate moments where you're close to the crowd, you can see everything.
Right.
But it's been amazing to see that translate to larger crowds. And the energy, you know, you get from larger crowds is fueling, you know, especially for us on stage. I couldn't be more thankful. I'm not a person that loves to be in front of a lot of people or even in the limelight or any type of thing. I'm very, you know, quiet and tend to be in my mind about a lot of things all the time. But, when you go out there and you see right in front of you what the songs do to the fans and how much it means to them, it's a very special feeling. And it makes you really feel honored to be a part, of that story for them. And that means the most, man. Getting to see the fans hear the music live is all they want to do. And so it puts aside my own things, and I've really gotten used to and fallen in love with, you know, being in front of the fans and playing the music for them.
There's no connection. I mean, I'm not a musician by any means. Been to a lot of shows, talked to a lot of different musicians talking about that. I don't think there is a connection that can kind of be the same. It's on its own. It's a whole different thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I think it's very cool. Let's talk into the creative process then. You mentioned kind of being by yourself, and a lot of this is obviously personal reflection, what you're working on. Do you prefer to write music by yourself, or are you down for the collaboration? What's the creative process for you?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because starting off, I wrote a lot of things by myself.
Sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. And you get to this place where you think that everything you're doing is like, that's it. That's the cap. You're like, I wrote this. This is how the song goes. And it's been you know, a beautiful, challenging growth in having other people come into my writing sessions, because I have ideas, I have thoughts specifically for kind of what I'm going to go into when I enter the studio. And at first I thought, man, people aren't going to like be able to latch onto these ideas and things I'm trying to think about, not all the time, but, you know, because most of the time we're writing, you know, such formulated, you know, kind of lyrics and things to make hits. People are all into virality and making sure. Songs that can chart and all this stuff. It's less about the feeling of anything. And so I've been lucky enough to be with, you know, the managers that came alongside us, Mega House, and their people, their writers, that really can sink into my sessions and help even formulate and expand my ideas more. So I've been more open now to, of course, I'm still, you know, very picky with who it is.
Sure, and protective. I'm protective of,
yeah, the energy, but I'm definitely a lot more open to having, you know, one other writer in the room with me, helping, you know, formulate ideas. But for the most part, I don't spend a lot of time, you know, thinking of lyrics and things like that. I write a lot of poetry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, music tends to come back to you and find you. And so a lot of times that poetry that I write comes back in the form of some kind of melody. And it's been cool, especially for the song Rust, for example.
Yes.
That song I wrote as it started off as a poem in Italy. I was in Italy playing for the UN last year. I was just seeing these two swans, and I wrote a poem just from afternoon till dusk. I'm loving you too much till desire turns to dust, loving you till I rest. And fast forward a year later, we were in the studio with Cooper, who's an amazing person, one of the producers I work with, you know, mostly. Mm-hmm. And he was just playing this melody, and those words came back to me then. In the studio, it was just and the words fit perfectly to the tune he was playing on the guitar, and just like that song was born. Didn't know it was going to become a song then, and it is now. So that's how I tend to work. Don't put too much pressure on anything. I like we call it downloading from the source, where you just are in it. You're in the flow state, and lyrics just find you, man.
I love that. And Rust is going to be the song that we're going to play on the air for people
perfect. Yeah, well, there you go.
What a great transition. Yeah, that's the song that they wanted us to play, and that's the one we're going to play. Cool. And the one that you are playing that's on the last EP that just came out, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a great little introduction to that song. So we will be playing that. Monrovia, this has been so much fun.
Yeah, thank you, man.
For doing this.
Oh, appreciate you.
I know it was all kind of short notice. People behind the scenes, we were trying to get everything squared away. I'm glad we were able to make it happen.
Now this is special.
And I can't wait to go see you. I'll be there tomorrow night
over
at the Barrel House Ballroom.
I appreciate it.
We love that venue. We work with them all the time. And you were talking about like small intimate shows. It's a great venue for that type of atmosphere. So we're looking forward to you kicking off the Appalachia tour. Of course, people can go to hits96.com and they'll be able to see the full list of all of the dates, because you're going to be going over a little bit around the Southeast.
Yeah.
And then you have the European tour kicking off in the spring real quick.
Man.
That must be, I know you've been over there before, you've done traveling before, but what are the sights for the European tour? That must be exciting.
Oh, it's so exciting, man. They've been calling us for a long time, hoping that we could come over there. And, you know, we started last year, we did two shows only in London. Oh, actually, I take that back. We did two shows in London, and then I was in, Eindhoven, and did one little tiny thing there. But this is the first like expansive tour all across Europe. And I haven't been to a lot of places in Europe, so I'm really looking forward just to see the sights and be with those people, because those fans are awesome, man.
Yes, I've heard they're in nothing against American
fans. Yeah, nothing against the American fans, but
there's a whole different
world. Yeah, it's a whole different world, man. So I'm just looking forward to, you know, being able to have the opportunity to bring our music to the people. I mean, that's what it's about.
Excellent.
Yeah,
excellent.
Man.
Well, we're going to see you tomorrow night, Barrel House Ballroom. And we'll also put up a link as well as some of your music, lyric videos and such.
Appreciate that.
On our website at hits96.com. And then I think in just a little bit, you're going to do a little bit of an acoustic performance or a ukulele for us.
I will.
So we'll be posting up that video as well on our socials. So make sure you give us a follow at Hits96 Radio. Make sure you follow Monrovia. That's at Monrovia Boy on all social media platforms.
Thank you.
And again, all of that detail, we have a little hub of information on all things Monrovia at hits96.com. Congratulations on all the success so far. Wish you the best of luck in the future. You're going to have some fun on this tour and in Europe and everything else. And you'll have to come on back and keep us updated,
yeah,
okay?
Would love to, man. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Monrovia right here on Hits 96. Let's listen to his song, Rust.